Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Here on the WIB Wake Up Show, Jason Kanz. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've been hearing about the wildfires in Los Angeles, but it seems to be getting worse, and they're really struggling with containment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something Heather and I were talking about it yesterday when I got home from work. She's like, have you been seeing the videos? And I'm like, it's amazing.
I mean,
it's just crazy what's happening. And
I think I saw a headline. Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, his mom lived in 92, I think, and her home was destroyed. So, yeah.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Today is a national day of mourning for the life of Jimmy Carter.
Yep. I did not know it was today, but I think, again, just a great man whose legacy, especially after his presidency, really demonstrated what love can look like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think to be thinking about him and the influence he had after that.
Yeah, setting policies aside, setting electoral wins or loss, he had a great win and then he had a notable loss electorally.
Right.
But, I mean, you set all that aside and you talk about humility and service and love. Wow, he seemed to show it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think we kind of hear that across the board from people, from a lot of people, that, legacy after his presidency far mm-hmm. outshone his presidency itself.
That's interesting. I find myself thinking, and again, you know, getting older, like, listen, I've been 60 since June 12th, and it doesn't fit well, okay? I don't
sure.
know. I mean, and do you love being 52?
No.
No. I mean,
no.
We all want to be like, I don't know, under 50, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
But so I was kind of thinking, I thought, oh, you should maybe throw out the question to the listeners today. Like, were you alive during the Jimmy Carter presidency? And I'm like, I think my side, the side that was, would get crushed. Our side.
Yeah.
You were alive.
I was. Yeah. I don't remember a whole lot of it, but mm-hmm. I do remember bits and pieces of him being president.
You were born in 72, so.
Born in 72, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, and he served from 76 to 78, or was elected, I guess, in 76.
See, now I can remember, my dad got Time Magazine, so I can remember the cover that, you know, just a vague memory, but, you know, the year of the evangelical kind of a thing.
Yep.
And you probably, as a four-year-old, you weren't really remembering that.
I don't remember that a whole lot at all, no.
Did you read Time Magazine in a four-year-old?
Shockingly, no. yeah. No, I was much more into U.S. News and World Reports at that age.
Tell you what, Time was like the magazine, and Sports Illustrated. My dad, one of the great gifts I ever got, he got me like Sports Illustrated and then just kept it going for years. And that
nice.
was really cool. So anyhow.
Yeah. I subscribe to like Motor Trend and Snowmobile magazines, which is weird for me now since I'm not really into either of those things.
Yeah, so. Right.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Okay, well, there we go. It's just kind of random, folks. You never know what we're going to talk
about. This morning it was, yep.
Before we land on, there's other things that, again, I kind of been thinking like this is, I don't know, I had a talk show around here for 24 years and came back from Africa. They're like, we're not going to give you that again. So
sure.
This is kind of the 5 minute version of that. So,
yeah, right.
Here we go.
Gotta cover a lot in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's solving the world's problems 5 minutes at a time.
Right, right.
We've got Acts chapter 10. 24 seems so minimal, but I guess let's do it today. So.
Sure. And that says, they arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends.
All right. And you say early the next day, Peter and some of the disciples from Joppa accompanied the three men toward Caesarea. They could not complete the whole journey in one day, so they finished up the next day waiting expectantly. Cornelius had gathered family and friends to receive Peter. All right. We're about to see this meeting take place, right?
Right. So, you know, and I think of this too, right? You know, we live in a society now where you can keep pretty close tabs on when people are showing up. But, you know, Cornelius sent these people out and is like, he has no idea when they're coming back. You know, I mean, maybe has a rough guess of when they may return, depending on what Peter had said. But, you know, they can't like text ahead and say, well, we'll be there at 6 o'clock on Friday. You know, and so for me, there's sometimes thinking about the different time or different access we have to one another in this time period.
Yeah, for sure. Good
so,
stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you,
yep.
friend. All right, there we go. Our friend Jason Kanz shared a really encouraging piece yesterday, just a short piece from Chad Bird. And we've got something else from him for you this morning here on WWIB. Yeah, the one yesterday, I posted the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook group. It's called The Math of Mercy, and it was so good. I actually was thinking, like, wow, I'm going to keep reading that. But then I came across something else from Chad this morning. And he says this. He says, there's a medieval Jewish tradition that Sarah died after hearing the report that Abraham had taken Isaac, their son, to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. While this is just a tradition, says Bird, the sentiment behind it is credible. He says, when I heard that my son, Luke, had fallen to his death in a hiking accident in 2022, his son at just 21 years old, he says, I too felt like I was teetering on the brink of death itself. What parent would not, writes Bird. It's a monstrous thing for a parent to bury a child, and not only breaks a mother and father's heart, it kills something inside us. Chad says, what I've experienced since that terrible day is that I hold on more loosely to the things of this world. I am but a stranger here, passing through on my way to the resurrection of the body. Over every setback, loss, sickness, and disappointment we experience now, we can placard this victory sign. Christ is risen. No matter how bad things become in our lives, with Christ on our side, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Julian of Norwich. Why? Because Christ is risen. Chad Bird says, God has the whole world in his nail-scarred hands, and he, my friend, has you. No matter what turmoil, pain, or confusion today might bring, it'll still be a day when Christ is risen. Your sins will still be forgiven. Your life will still be redeemed. Death will still be conquered, all because Christ is risen. That changes everything. On WWIB, taking us to Matt Maher's Christ is Risen. I'll post that in the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook group from Chad Bird, just like we did yesterday. Share it with a friend.
Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come away.
WIB, it's a national day of mourning today. It's been declared that by President Biden in honor of former President Jimmy Carter, coinciding with Carter's state funeral at the Washington National Cathedral, which is taking place this morning.
Now, the state funeral will include eulogies by President Biden and by Stephen Ford, reading a tribute written by Gerald Ford. It will be held at the Washington National Cathedral before Carter's private interment in Plains, Georgia, of course, where he lived and grew up.
Yeah, the funeral will be broadcast on most major networks and C-SPAN today.
Now, one of the things I wondered about a national day of mourning, because this doesn't obviously happen all the time, is, well, is there mail delivery today? No, there's not. The U.S. Postal Service will suspend operations today. However, UPS, FedEx services, those will remain operational as normal.
Flags have been flown at half staff, and they continue to be for 30 days following President Carter's death, which has been a little controversial since, of course, there's an inauguration January 20th.
Of course, former President Carter did pass away recently on December 29, 2024, at the age of 100 in his hometown of Plains, Georgia. After nearly 2 years in hospice care, he was the longest living U.S. president.
100 years old. Carter will be remembered for not only his time as president, but also his public service after leaving the White House. We had a story yesterday about the Habitat for Humanity work he and his wife Rosalind did in Milwaukee. He's been celebrated numerous times for his humanitarian work and even won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002.
All right, so a little bit more about, again, today's National Day of Mourning, in case you were wondering.
I do special events after the 6:30 weather, and today is National Word Nerd Day, Caleb.
All right, well, there you go.
Gives us the chance to learn some new words, use some old ones, and maybe even borrow them from someone else. We celebrate by using our favorite words, explaining the importance of language in our culture. In 1950, it's Dr. Seuss who coined the term word nerd.
Well, you know what? I'm on board even more than if Dr. Yeah. Seuss came up with this.
Absolutely. And they suggest that you set a goal to learn a new word a day. Learning new words will help you enunciate your thoughts precisely. You can, and then they want to pitch you the word a day calendar.
Of course.
Which if you've priced those at the bookstore or online, you know how expensive they are. And Caleb, you and Sam were out and about with the Kindness Jar team yesterday.
Yeah, so be looking for that video as we went to a local coffee shop and were able to create kind of a secret surprise tab. So as people came in, it's, hey, your order's been paid for. And then I got to hear a little bit more about that, too. And several of them came over and told us how it made their day. We had one woman actually tell us, she said, hey, actually, my car got hit recently.
Wow.
Just that same day. And she's like, so it wasn't having the greatest day. And she said this really made her day. And another asked how she could pay it forward. And it was a great start to the Kindness Jar in January.
And just real quick, we could use some more help to build up those funds for February.
Yeah, absolutely. And even yet here in January, too, we were hoping to have possibly 3 Kindness Jar stops in January. Doesn't look like we'll have the funds to be able to do that as of now. But, of course, we've got a whole month. So if more come in, maybe we'll be able to do a third Kindness Jar stop at a coffee shop in January. We'll see how that goes. But, always help appreciated. WWIB.com/kindness if you're willing to give a gift of any amount.
WWIB, it's 12 and a half in front of 8 o'clock and 11 degrees on this Thursday morning.
And speaking of coffee, morning coffee may be the key to a longer life. Good news for all you Java lovers.
Yeah, a new study suggests that drinking coffee only in the morning may be associated with a lower risk of death compared to drinking it throughout the day.
Researchers from Tulane University analyzed data from over 40,000 U.S. adults and found that morning-only coffee drinkers had a 16% lower chance of dying from any cause and a 31% lower risk of dying from heart disease.
See, I saw this headline yesterday, and that's what it was. It was like, coffee can help you in terms of any health challenge. The study found that the risk of death was lower regardless of the number of cups consumed or whether decaf was preferred, which generally coffee lovers don't prefer decaf, except for later in the day.
However, those who continued drinking coffee into the afternoon and evening did not show a lower risk of death. Interesting.
Yeah, that is. And some of the real diehards do drink it throughout the day. The researchers suggest that morning coffee may be better aligned with the body's natural sleep and wake cycles, reducing inflammation and lowering heart disease risk. So there you go.
So pick your spots, I guess.
Yeah. Usually I cut it off somewhere midday, and I better because I can be kind of caffeine sensitive sometimes.
Yeah, I know my 14-year-old who is becoming more and more of a coffee lover, she kind of knows too. It's like, oh, hey, do you want coffee? And she's, no, not at this point of the day. So she knows when to also pick her spots.
Yeah, Grandpa's a big coffee lover too, right?
Yes, that's probably where she gets it from.
Can't be too careful. A lot of bad drivers out there.
Well, there are indeed, but where are they the worst? We now have data to tell us.
Yeah, here we go. We're not hiding this. Massachusetts has been dubbed the state with the worst drivers in America, according to a recent study by LendingTree.
The research, which analyzed millions of insurance inquiries, found that Massachusetts drivers had the highest rate of incidents per 1,000 drivers during the study period.
But why does Massachusetts have this reputation?
Experts point to factors such as the state's congested roads, urban population, and challenging driving conditions due to weather.
Sounds like excuses to me.
Right.
Following Massachusetts, let's do this. It's Rhode Island.
Then California.
The District of Columbia.
And New Jersey.
Rounding out the top 5 states with the worst drivers.
So most of them, again, are on the coasts and most on the East Coast as well. I have to say, I haven't driven on the East Coast a lot, but I think sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, it'd be busy traffic in the cities or whatever. No, not until you get out there on the coast. Like, what is it? I-90, I think, just insane traffic. Insane.
Yeah. So, a number of years ago, we took a vacation to Orlando. And I remember my wife went out to get groceries at, like, an Aldi. And she was like, the drivers are terrible here.
So I think we can be just thankful for living here in the Midwest. I like it here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, you read a study like that and you're like, I hope Wisconsin's not in there. And so we made it okay.
I mean, I feel like Illinois is probably breathing a sigh of relief.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Boy, that's rough, though. You drive around Chicago, that's crazy for sure.
Well, the headline, Halvo, they're changing Monopoly again. I mean, there are lots of different versions of the classic board game, and we've probably seen them, you know, again, my adopted hometown, Chippewa Falls. There's Chippewa Fallsopoly. There's probably an Eau Claire version. There's sports versions. There's Monopoly Deal, the card game. They have, what, like the digital versions? So many different things, but now a new iteration coming to the classic board game.
Yeah, I remember I had the NFL version at one point.
That's cool.
Hasbro, it was after the Packers played the Broncos in the Super Bowl. I want to forget that. But Hasbro has a problem with Monopoly. It's too popular, and everyone who wants one already has a set, and nobody wants to buy any new Monopoly boards.
So they're thinking, what can we do to change it up to try to sell more versions of Monopoly, sell the game more? Hasbro has done a good job of releasing all those specialty versions of Monopoly, like we mentioned, but really, how many versions does a household actually need?
Yeah, because, hello, have you heard of video games, right? Commanding so much attention. So now the company trying the game in a square box. Why a square box?
Well, the pieces are 20% larger than normal.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Now, again, to me, Monopoly is pretty iconic as a rectangular box. So square box, and I don't know, do I need larger pieces? Apparently Hasbro thinks I do.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there's Scrabble, and you know I'm a big fan.
Yep.
But then there's like, we have like Super Scrabble. And you saw that board. I brought it in here. Where you can actually get not just a triple word, you can get quadruple word scores. So it's a bigger board, more tiles. It's more fun, really.
One, I think that's sometimes the classic games with a twist.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My goodness, my little brother Elijah has a version of Uno, classic card game, right?
Yeah.
And it's called Uno No Mercy.
Huh.
And basically, you can play till you run out of cards, but more often you play by eliminating all of your opponents, because once they get 25 cards in their hand, then they're done for and they get kicked out of the game. And that happens a lot because there's like, I think it's either a draw 10 or draw 12. I mean, some crazy rule. So anyway,
yeah,
getting off topic tangential here. But again, that's, to me, that's kind of the way you change a game, not just turn a rectangular board into a square one. But you do you, Hasbro.
They kind of have probably some research that goes
I think this. They know a lot more than some radio host in Wisconsin.
Yeah, right.